Thank you, Chair. I would also like to comment and congratulate the new leadership, and I am also grateful for the strong leadership that has been in the expert mechanism. So this is inspirational, and we are looking forward to the report, of course. I will move on. There were several questions I think I would like to comment on. I do think when it comes to the question that Mrs. Gorbunova forwarded, I do think that the solutions that MRIP can contribute with is very important. It is a very stressful situation we are facing, and I do think that the expert competence in MRIP could provide us with aid in exploring what kind of measures that could further more be explored. It is necessary, and I am anticipating the report. Because solutions, they are sought after, they are discussed, they are wanted, and they are needed for all of us. To Mr. Oyulu, I do think you had a good question. The question is, who benefits? Because I do agree it is a true global question that is manifesting in these issues we are facing. The desperate situation of ours is highly interconnected with global complex issues like climate change and the nature crisis. So I guess the answer to who the beneficiaries are could be elaborated very much. I do understand that this question is connected to also economical beneficiaries or legal measures, and I do would like to point to the Fosen case that even though economy, I would warn against folks on economy solemnly, because the indigenous way of life is interconnected with the land use, and if the connection between the land and our way of life is broken, money cannot contribute. I would like to also talk about what kind of remedy mechanisms could be of interest. We need to balance the extreme disproportionate power balance by developing actively facilitating mechanisms and process aid for letting indigenous peoples and state parties and industries try more measures to actively bring these highly challenging processes forward and according to human rights, indigenous rights, and also meeting the global challenges efficiently, and of course always prioritizing securing future generations, which is the most important thing we can do. And I do think one of the issues, I would like to reference the intervention of the Norwegian government in the panel. Many of the consultation processes reach agreements, however, there are not reached agreements in consultations on several of the most crucial issues for the Sami people in Norway. There are no agreement reached on the Reindeer Herding Act, the Mineral Act, and legal recognition of the Sami's right to fish. There were not reached agreements on major land encroachment issues, such as Fosen case, the Øyfjellet case, the Nussir case, and the list goes on. And then we have the Melkøya case, where we do not agree whether consultation should have been carried out or not. I believe there is a need to look into what we can achieve agreements how we can achieve agreements, and of course follow up on the FPIC, free, prior and informed consent. One of the main problems is that we do not seem to talk about the same problem, and then we do not talk about the same possible solution either. So that is something I am always thinking about. I have been actively discussing with the Prime Minister of Norway, and I do believe that we have a common understanding on the need for us to utilize the consultation agreements more. Yet, I do think we must prioritize this furthermore in concrete actions. We have also had dialogue with the National Human Rights Institution in Norway on assessing the consultations between the government and the Sami Parliament in order to seek out furthermore possibilities on utilizing this mechanism. I would like to state that the perception on the free, prior and informed consent as a veto right is highly problematic. In my opinion, the free, prior and informed consent is the solution. I would also like to thank Vice Chair Doro for her clarifying and precise comments. Thank you.